Welcome to the official Leverage Redemption After Show, a very distinctive podcast here on Electric Now. I am Yael Teagle.
And I'm Felicia Michelle, and you have been rocking with us all season long. You made it to the end, so you see that we already have great interviews, games, and of course, more interaction from fans.
Yeah, this episode, we are discussing season one, episode 16, the Harry Wilson job. This is the season finale. I know, and luckily we are going to talk to Harry Wilson himself, as well as a few other people. So don't miss that. But first, we gotta head into the studio to talk about this episode.
Yeah, see you there.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe we are at the end of season one.
But we got another great eight, so I'm happy about that.
Yes. I cannot wait to discuss the Harry Wilson job. This is the one. We met him in the premiere. We're losing him in this finale.
Well, we're not really understanding where Harry's head is at.
Right. This episode starts, he's left the team. He joined RIZ.
Wow. I was just like, I cannot believe that they put all this faith and time and energy to you, and you would just so easily make another 180 and just like totally pivot. Like,
right. Were you, did you think that he actually abandoned them and went evil again?
I thought that there was a possibility for it, and I kind of would have liked to see in a different alternate universe him use the tactics he learned from the team against the team, and then obviously them beating him because he's not as great as them. That would have been cool.
I do like that idea.
Because maybe he was like doing this the whole time. Maybe he was a part of RIZ. We never know. Because, you know, they've been trying to get at our team.
Right.
Basically all season, you know, they've been trying to infiltrate. And we see, and really just destroy the team. We see that in this episode. But I'm really happy that he didn't. I was quite relieved because Harry is a character that I've come to really like and value in this show, and he kind of is the catalyst for understanding what Leverage Redemption is and what that means, explaining that to viewers.
Yeah, I think when I like to watch a show, I like to not overthink it and try to put it together. And so when he left, I was heartbroken. When he joined RIZ, I was heartbroken. How could he leave us?
What?
But now that you say it, I'm like, ooh, wouldn't it be interesting to see him turn into the villain? I mean, obviously, alternate universe, because I like where we went.
Oh, I love where we went, yeah.
But wouldn't that be interesting to see him with RIZ and be the new big bad?
I need to hear your terrible reason for doing whatever the hell that was.
When I had my moment of clarity about my motives with my wife, why I joined this team, I felt like I needed to dig into RIZ on my own.
Well, we just know that anything is possible, or I just, you know, believe anything is possible in watching this show, so you just never know. But I'm relieved, like I said, again, that he...
Yes.
But disappointed at the same time. You should have trusted them more to let them know what you were up to.
I agree. I think there must have been a way to let them know, but I think that the explanation of why he couldn't make sense, I love that we have this 2-month time jump. He's left the team 2 months ago without a word.
Got his stuff and left.
I think it's interesting that they didn't go looking for him. Like, that seems interesting that our team wouldn't be like, we should check in on him. Because he's not like Elliot, where if Elliot's taken,
someone probably kidnapped him. He'll
right,
be back.
He'll be back. He's got it.
Yeah. Or he'll find a way to get to us and let us know he needs help.
Yeah. Or, you know, we saw it in the bucket job where he's taken and our team is like, all right, let's go get him. We can figure this out. So it's interesting that they let Harry fend for himself. But I guess also he was an evil guy. He was evil lawyer, joined the team. And they were like, well, guess he went back to evil lawyering.
Yes, exactly. Like, I think they understand that this is an everyday journey that you make to redeem yourself.
Right.
And you might not make that decision every single day. Maybe you fell off the good wagon, you know?
Sure. I see what you're saying. That makes sense. So they try to enter the RIZ building, but everything seems to have changed. All of the stuff that they knew was wrong. I think that is such a fun reveal. is that they're wondering why it's been 2 months. They got away with blowing up the oil rig, and now they're making all these changes. And why is that? And it's because we're coming up to the big show. The oil rig was just the beginning.
Just a little cherry on top. You haven't gotten to all the other stuff underneath there. It's multi-layered.
Yeah.
It's like an MLM of evil. Like, what is that about? I don't like that.
Yeah. It's when you get down into it, and when our team figures it out, it's not that RIZ was hired by Ethan. Ethan's an employee of RIZ. That was a fun twist. I did not see that coming.
Well, because you think, okay, you're this, like, you're the CEO of this big giant oil company, and you have all these millions and millions of dollars, and, you know, what we see as perceived success. So, of course, you're the person who's in charge, but no, you're just another pawn in this. And also, too, it expands what we know about the agency mm-hmm. altogether and what they're capable of, and then who are the powers that be that control
right.
us? What more happens in here? Why would they care about, you know, like, you start to, like, ask yourself more questions about this organization, because at first, you know, we meet them and it's like, oh, they're just hired assassins, you know?
Right.
Like, no, they're more evil than that.
Yeah, it's wild to see that they're the puppet masters, right? They're not just hired assassins. They're not just private security. They're data collection. They're all of these things together. They're a
force to be reckoned with,
they're
honestly.
They're the League of Evil.
The Anti-Justice League?
Yes.
Is that how you feel? Okay.
Yes. All right. As we know, I'm a shipper, so we got to talk about the sinking ship. Elliot and Maria, I'm so upset that they broke up in this episode.
And I'm not worth the risk.
The bitch of it is, I think you are. You're a good man. But you're still a criminal. And I won't cross that line.
I'm upset that, it's not good that they broke up. We both have very quite real reactions to that because of wanting Elliot to be in love and wanting him to have that in his life. But I get it. Like, it's just sad that because he's doing good, he can't have that good thing because he'd have to tell her. And in telling her and in her job, there's just so many conflicts of it all. It's just too complicated.
The hardest part is he tells her everything and she gets it. She understands it. She understands that he has a good heart and that he's doing good things and that he means well. But because he was outside the law, because he is a criminal, she cannot be with him.
That's probably like the saddest when there are actually two people who really do love each other and circumstances divide them. And, you know, it would be nice to see him have somebody. And I guess we did get to see it for a little bit anyway.
The question is, will this harden him? Will this make him less likely to trust and to let someone else in after such a heartbreak?
I don't know. I think maybe he kind of expected it, if you ask me, you know, because he's like a glass half empty type of dude, you know, like he kept it very secret, you know, it wasn't like a thing he told people until for a while, you know, like we figured it might be Maria, but we weren't too sure. And then it was confirmed that's the when he's texting, and it made sense that is what happened. I don't think he was like shocked, but I think he was hurt, but I don't think he was like shocked. It's just like the ebb and flow of his life, like being disappointed in people, like a lot of our, you know, him and Parker have a lot of people hurt. You know, we saw in the Christmas episode being disappointed with his dad, and people are supposed to be there for him. So I think he's hurt, but I don't think it's anything new. It's a familiar feeling. Unfortunately, I know it's sad,
that
right? When
so
I
said
it, I'm sorry. I don't have to be honest.
Well, one of the things I loved, one of the things that made me smile, is when he tells her everything and he says, we work outside the law, but we work with law enforcement. You can ask Mick Sweeney and Taggart. And it seems that they've both been promoted. They're both very high up in their agencies. I love that, and I cannot wait to see them again, because I am going to put it out there. I'm manifesting it. We will see them again. I think that was such a fun little nod
Because they do work with law enforcement, kind of. They work adjacent to and then tip off law enforcement. And I feel like Maria was definitely part of that. She was someone that they tipped off and called for help and used in a positive way, if that could be said.
It just sucks that they can't be together.
Maybe they can be together.
They can't be together. Not have her jeopardize her job. Like, she worked for that. She's a U.S. Marshal. Like, she's not a beat cop, you know. And being a woman, and we both watch enough law shows to know that it can be difficult. And we live real life for women to move up in those ranks, in those kinds of fields and in positions. So I get, she, you know, I don't want her to jeopardize her job. If there was a world they could be together and she could be successful in her career and he could still do his thing, then that's the world I would like. But it's not that right now. I'm sorry,
but
I'm sorry,
I want them together.
it's gonna be okay.
It is gonna be okay. How did you feel with how the season ended? Right, Harry ends up leaving, and Sophie, who was, you know, it was never going to be a permanent thing, and she's
trying to go be a director at some theater, and girl, no.
But she decides to stay.
I don't think that was my final performance. You know, I love the theater. I love a full house and the applause, but this, holding one person's attention, improvising every second with everything on the line. I think this is my stage.
So our team is intact. Harry is moving on. He's going to go help and lawyer for good. Maybe he and Sarah from the golf job are going to work together and start a firm. Oh,
maybe
would like
she'll
that.
Become a better liar.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, I would watch that spinoff. Anyway, how did you feel about the way the season ended?
I enjoyed the standoff with Sophie and our leader of our
Alexander Bly. Alexandra Bly, sorry.
I loved it. I love it because it was like, I don't know if you've ever watched, they used to have this thing called Spy versus Spy. It was like a cartoon.
Yeah, of course.
And you're all black and you have your white.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you think you're so smart. It's like that moment where they're like intellectually like sizing each other up and they're reading each other. And if you all know what a read is when you tell somebody about themselves and when they think that they're right about something. And mm-hmm. she was just reading her. Oh, you're very smug. They also, shout outs to Hera and Wardrobe, because they made her look mean, unapproachable. Like, she had some very intense hairstyles throughout this season that was like, girl, let your hair down, let loose, you know? Very uptight, but I enjoyed that little standoff that she had, because, you know, Sophie has this thing about her where she really can remain calm and also show much disdain for you.
Yes.
Like, simultaneously. And a lot of people can't do that because sometimes it leads them to anger, and she's very calm with it. And she's like, oh, okay.
I'm here to make you an offer. Cancel this little scheme of yours. Release Mr. Wilson. Sacrifice Ethan out there to the authorities for the oil rig. And we'll let RIZ walk away.
I agree. The whole sequence where Sophie and Alexandra Bly are head-to-head talking through what is happening and how everything is going down is so beautifully done, so beautifully shot and written. And I think we have to give some shout-outs to the directors and writers of this episode. This was directed by Dean Devlin and written by John Rogers and Kate Rorick. It is people who know Leverage inside and out. They said, we know these characters, we know this story, we know this world, and they tied it up in a beautiful bow.
We got a reunion mm-hmm. of everyone, which I think people were waiting with bated breath to see, like, are we going to see Hardison again in this,
yeah.
in the second eight? You know, listen, y'all, we asked in the first eight. We asked. They didn't tell us. We right. had to find out when you guys found out.
Yeah, we did. That is true.
We got them jumping out off the building, you know.
We got everything we needed.
Absolutely.
And we will tell you more about that as we continue. Don't go anywhere.
Get your baskets ready for Kate Rourke's Easter Egg Corner.
In the Harry Wilson job, you'll see the names on screen of the oil workers who unfortunately died in the explosion. Well, those names are actually names of our crew members, because we like killing off our crew members whenever we can. We use the names of our crew members because generally they're pretty easy to clear. We can get their permission to kill them off. And Yale, I know that you wanted to be killed off, and we're more than happy to do it for you. All you have to do is sign a form.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Kate Rourke, for sharing your Easter eggs with us all season long. And thank you to everyone. Let us know if we missed any Easter eggs, right?
I'm sure we did miss some.
Yeah, I'm sure there are lots. So
happy hunting.
Happy hunting.
This is Harry Wilson's last episode, so of course we had to talk to Noah Wiley. Let's go see what he had to say.
Okay, now let's talk about the Harry Wilson job. The last episode of the season, last episode for Harry Wilson, it seems. And after we got to meet his family, what was it like for you coming in to knowing that this is going to be the last episode?
I never say never, you know.
Last episode of the season, of the story that we're currently hearing and watching.
This was a job that I didn't anticipate wanting to do more than a year of. So I came in expecting the finale to be a sense of completion. And instead, I felt myself feeling that feeling of like last day of camp. You know, I'm going to miss my friends. This has been a lot more fun than I anticipated. I've enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I would. And I'm going to miss it. So that was and that comes across. I mean, I was playing my reality. Harry very much feels that way. He is going to go on. He's going to try and change his life around. He's going to reconnect with his family. But he made this other family that he didn't expect to make. And, you know, he's got these new friends that he doesn't want to lose. So I felt very, like I was playing close to the bone there.
Do you think it's because this might be like one of the first times in a long time that he's had real friends, like real friends who, it's not about you being an attorney. It's not about that I've helped you out or you scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's just they like me for me and the bad version of myself, the version of myself that I don't like and I have to confront every day, and they still accept me. Do you think like maybe that's like the first time he's just
I think that's an
that?
Excellent point. Yeah, they accepted him as a flawed human being and didn't judge him then. And
he beat himself up a lot more than the team beat him up. I mean, yeah, well, they beat him up a little bit.
Somebody needed to deck him. You know, he had it coming to him. Can't just beat yourself up and call it justice.
I need to know. So I don't know if you read the scripts in order or how. Did you think that Harry was like he had defunct, basically, that he had actually turned back to his old ways that he and leaving the team?
I didn't know where the hell we were. I mean, truthfully, I'd like to believe that the writers knew. I knew that they knew they were going to do this double switch, but we hadn't quite worked it out how we were going to do it, you know, until after the Christmas break, and then Dean cracked it. So.
And that double switch was because Aldis or Harry had to film the
logistically.
Early, yeah.
We filmed our finale before the end of the season, and then we had to figure out how to get there, basically.
Oh,
and have that all feel like it was supported as if it had worked itself out chronologically. And the beats were there in terms of the story was written on the wall, but when you shoot it, it sometimes looks very differently than you have it on the wall. So it was a bit of a gamble that we could shoot the finale and Harry's goodbye. And the reuniting with the family before we'd shot meeting the family, before we'd shot any of the other stuff leading up to it.
Not for me. I think I'm done.
What? Why, you just learned to hack. You're not bad.
Yeah, you're not a thief, but you're thiefy. Thievish. Thiefity.
You were undercover for months. That's a grift.
You even threw a halfway decent punch there in the end.
I'm like a little pinch hitter hacker and like a little taste grifter thief. I'm half a lawyer now at best, but maybe if I mix that all together, I could still be something and do some good.
How?
Hang out a shingle, take the cases of people in need. I'm going to become terribly poor. But maybe also become the kind of man my daughter can look in the eye.
It all worked, I think. I haven't seen it yet.
I feel special. Okay. Yeah. It was great. cool. It was wonderful. But there was a moment there where I was just like, I think along the way, Harry has been how the audience understands what leverage is and what leverage redemption is. He is that, because Brianna's already been indoctrinated. She's been ingrained. She knows that she's grown up around this. Like, she said this. But Harry is novice to all of this. And that's, I think, is how the audience understands through his experience with the team. So when I thought that he might have actually defunct and turned back, I was quite upset at him. I was like, I know he did not do that. I know he didn't put in all that work to just go back now, you know, because I feel like once you see something, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. You know, ignorance is bliss. But now you know. So how can you turn back? I was mad.
I'm so happy that you were mad. I'm so happy. That means we
I was like, how could he do this? He has a family now.
I thought he could easily do it. He's an evil lawyer. And he was like, you know, it's too hard to be good.
It is hard to be good.
Yeah.
It's hard to be good.
But it makes sense, though, because although I do wish Harry would have had more trust in the team, it makes sense because of his conditioning. He's mm-hmm. conditioned not to really trust. He's still learning a part of that. And then it got very personal because it's his family involved in this, his ex-wife and his daughter, played by your daughter.
Yes, my daughter played my daughter. Yes.
She did an amazing job, by the way. Like, she did. I know. Were you like, oh, did you shed a little tear?
You know, they told me that they were going to cast a part of my daughter at some point in the season, but I assumed it would be a part that worked a few episodes. And my daughter has been expressing interest in starting a career for a few years now. She's been studying. And I haven't really not been supportive of it, but I haven't exactly encouraged it either, because she's turning 16. She's got plenty of life left to have a career, and she's seen a very rarefied glimpse of what this life is like.
It can be a hard road.
Because she's only seen, you know, I've worked most of her life. So I wanted her to be ready, and I wanted her to want to do it for the real reasons, not to make money or to be famous, but because she really loves the craft of it and storytelling, and she does. So then this part came up, and I realized it was only going to be in one episode, and it was only going to be a couple scenes, and I thought, she could handle this. But I'm not directing the episode, so all I can do is I told her about it, and I sent her the script in advance, and I said, you're going to have to audition for this, and you're going to have to earn the part. You know, you're going to have to get approved by Dean and Mark Roskin, who's directing it, and Amazon. And to her credit, she worked on it with her acting teacher, and she put herself on tape, and she submitted the tape, and it was really good. And Dean immediately said, hire her. And so she got the job on her own. I told her I could get them to take your audition seriously, but you're going to have to get it. And in a weird way, I thought this is a great teachable moment either way. Either you're going to get your first professional job in the most loving incubator kind of environment you could possibly want to land into for your first job. You're playing your father's daughter on a set where you know half the crew from when you were a baby. Or you don't get the part of playing your father's daughter, and you learn early on in your career that this is the way the world
cookie
works.
Cookie crumbles and happens like that.
This
sometimes.
Is more often than not. Mm-hmm. So it worked out for the best. And then she showed up, and she was extremely professional and did a great job. And I'm suddenly looking across the table at my daughter, and we're looking at each other, but we're acting with each other. But also, the material's pretty close to the bone for our, you know. It was multi-leveled and really beautiful, and one of the most memorable hugs I've ever had when we finished.
That's a great moment.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Did she ask you for any help or feedback or notes?
And
or
was she like,
advice?
No, Dad, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass me.
She was kind of, you know, she was locked in. She was locked in doing her thing, and it was one of those, you can only make it worse by trying to help too much, you know. If it's not broken, don't fix it. That's how I learned that very early on. So she did her thing, I did my thing, and it was two actors who just happened to know each other really well.
Like, be related, like.
Yeah, but
like her entire life, known each other her entire life.
But I felt what I needed to feel, which is that she was in character playing against my character, even though it was the same relationship, and we aren't the same people. And she was playing circumstances that were, you know, that were different. And I thought she did great.
I think she did a great job,
she did
too.
Fantastic.
She knocked out the park.
God help me.
I know. Well, I mean, you've like you said, you know, your experience is what she's seen, and what we all know is, you know, an amazing career with great work and progress and all these different things that I'm sure you've wanted to do and things you got to do that you probably never even imagined that you would get to do. But that's not everyone's story. So I No, nor is mine all rosy.
I mean, she's been around. I've had some big disappointments. I've had jobs that I really wanted that I didn't get, and things that I was trying to put together that fell apart. And I've tried to allow all my kids to see both sides of it, you know, to share in the celebration, but also understand the law of averages. Dad gets one out of every 12 he goes out for, you know. That's 11 times Dad's going to come home in a slightly bad mood. And that's a good law. That's a good batting average for what we do. But I also, it's a great life, and I would be hypocritical if I said that it hasn't been a great life for me. And the community of people I've fallen in with to be a storyteller is one that I wouldn't trade for anything. And if she finds friends and relationships and as much value in doing what she does as I do and what I do, that's all you can hope for as a parent.
Let's say Harry returns in season two.
Let's say there's a season two, first of all.
We've manifested it.
Oh, we manifested it already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's happening.
We've manifested. Okay, cool.
So let's say Harry returns in season two. Would his daughter come with him?
I don't know.
Would she join the team, and what would her skill set be?
Yael's going to give everybody a job. She wants everyone to come back.
You don't know. My daughter's already figured out, like, she's going to start her own team, junior leverage, junior agents.
Yes.
Like, where's the adolescent brigade? We should be infiltrating. There's a lot of, you know.
Thank you so much for joining us all season long.
This has been a pleasure. I hope we get to do this again. I really do.
We're manifesting it. We're manifesting. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that would be great. I had a really good time doing this show, and I would love to be part of it again in any capacity that they'll have me.
Yeah.
Sure. Hopefully we see more of Harry Wilson.
I hope so.
Now it's time for you to ask the final question from this season. Let's check it out.
Hello, Ms. Shannon, and welcome to Leverage Redemption.
Thank you.
My name is Mary Flowers Fell, and I had a couple of questions for you. As Ms. Shannon, what would be your favorite food and drink? And as Brianna, what would be your favorite food and drink? I look forward to seeing your character develop on Leverage Redemption.
Thank you. Oh, Miss Mary Flowers Stell. Miss Stell, my favorite food is probably, I have a very complex palate. I am going to say a Domino's thin crust pizza.
With pineapples.
With pineapples, green peppers, and pepperonis. I do not want to be judged for that. I think Brianna's favorite food is probably, she seems like a little like streetwise and stuff like that. So I want to say a food truck. And to that, I was thinking, the food truck always had me thinking that like Brianna would kill a taco. Like just literally street tacos with cilantro and onion style. Like definitely that. You can eat it on the go or some empanadas. I think Brianna has this thing for like Mexican food, Latino food, definitely probably like maybe a Cuban empanada. I mean, I don't know.
Like a pupusa or something like that.
Ooh, a pupuseria. She would be all up in a pupuseria. Nah, definitely giving street tacos and empanadas. With the green sauce, not the red sauce. Something that's a little like chill out a bit, you know what I mean? But definitely Mexican food. I've actually thought about that before. I was like, I can see her eating elote, just walking down a street, trying to do something else with another hand, because it's all portable. Mm. I think she moves a lot, so she's going to need portable food. She's definitely not sitting down to like Olive Garden, though. Come on. Chicken Alfredo? No. Never that. Thank you, Miss Flowers. She also called me Miss Shannon, which is my favorite thing in the world, because I don't take myself very seriously. So when someone's like Miss Shannon, I'm like, wow.
That's you. That's you.
That's who I am.
Hi, my name is Shay Jones, and my question is, what is the biggest risk you've ever taken?
My good sis Shay. The biggest risk I've ever taken, I think some people would say, I'm like an adrenaline junkie, so I went bungee jumping in New Zealand. I asked, I was like, what happens if, you know, there was like trees being cut down below it. I was like, what happens? Like, that doesn't look like mats or anything down there. They were like, yeah, because by the time you hit that, I mean.
No, we can do for you, though.
Right. So that,
You know, I owned a snake. Some people would say that's risky. I let her walk around all over the place. But I guess snakes don't walk. I let her slither around all over the place. But risk as far as, like, a career goes, funnily enough, probably this job. We were in a pandemic, and I didn't know that we were, like, the industry, we was going to come back up. So I got a job at Starbucks. And I was living at home with my mama. Shout out to Peaches. And I was working at Starbucks, messing up everybody's frappuccinos. Still don't know how to make a frappuccino. And I got this audition, and I wanted to quit Starbucks really bad. So I told them that I had booked a show. And they were like, oh, my God, that's so good. Like, congratulations. You know, just do your next 3 days, and then, like, we'll send you off. And I was like, great. They were like, what's the show? I was like, oh, dang. I mean, I wasn't even in callback territory yet. I was like,
you didn't think that one through.
It's called leverage. They were like, we'll be watching for it. I said, please do. Like, fully expecting to never go back to this Starbucks, Target, and Starbucks, you know, whatever. And I booked it. So I guess that was the biggest risk, was I quit my job saying that I already had this one, and I didn't.
In your ideal Leverage Redemption universe, what would Brianna be doing in the future? Like, obviously still hacking.
Ooh.
But what kind of role? Could her role change on the team?
No. No.
She has to be a little sis.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, she definitely has to be little sis. And there definitely has to be, you know, some hacking going on. But I don't think we've seen a lot of Brianna's, like, mechy skills, like her mechanical engineering skills, her build, and not too much of them. I mean, the drones are always cute, and they're like Frodo and Samwise Gamgee and all that stuff. but I'd love to see her build like this. Like, you know those, like, robot dogs that, like, were able to do anything, and then, like, you kick them, and then they flip back over, and you're like, oh, God. Or The Incredibles, where you see that big circle guy, and he comes up, and every time you hit him, and you sort of have to, like, get him to hit himself, and that's how... Like, I want Brianna to be a terror. Like, almost like Stitch got let loose into Leverage universe, and then somebody has to teach Stitch not to be so destructive. But I don't nearly think that we've seen how nuts Brianna could go, and then maybe needs to be reined back because they're like, this isn't right.
It is the final bingo of the season. If you've been playing with us all season long, this is the one you want to see. Let's check out what bingo items were in today's episode.
B-I-N-G-O.
This is the episode that has the most bingo items. So if you've been playing all season and haven't caught them, here we go. RIZ is responsible for the oil rig, so they make an appearance. Elliot hacks into the video hard drives, because now he's a hacker. We have food trucks. We have a taser, of course. We have Let's Go Steal Our Mr. Wilson, which is a twofer. We have a nerd reference.
Come with me if you want to live.
When Hardison says, come with me if you want to live, we have the Parker and Hardison kiss that we've been waiting for all season long. We have the Elliot and Hardison handshake. Brianna is in a vent, and I'm counting it. Parker rappels down. We have drones, and they are important. Elliot cooks, and we end with the bird's eye shot as Sophie is left with the paperwork. That is the bingo card for this season. I hope that you have had a good time playing bingo with us. Let us know how you did. Let us know what's on your bingo card. If it's different than ours, check us out at After Leverage.
And now we're going to speak to Kate Rourke, who's usually giving us our Easter eggs, but she's actually going to give us some exclusive about this episode because she wrote it. Check it out.
Let's talk about this season finale, the Harry Wilson job. You were writing this one with John Rogers.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about the process of writing the season finale.
Well, we knew in advance what we wanted to have happen. You know, we had broken the general overall season previously. We knew that RIZ was going to come back and we would have to take them down. And we knew that we wanted Harry to play a big role in that for his, you know, his redemption, essentially, and to have him essentially go back to, or at least seemingly go back to his old life and his old way of being, and make it believable that he would do that because he's Noah Wiley. He's charming. And
he's an evil lawyer.
He's an evil lawyer, even though he's very charming. We took that framework. And the Stuxnet worm had happened very recently, and that had been large in our consciousness, had been a card on the board for a while. And the fact that it could easily take down an electric grid is one of the things, and in any form of municipal infrastructure it could get into. Those two pieces came together very nicely for us to have something very large potentially happen and have RIZ be behind it.
Yeah. Was there any possibility of the story ending in a different way where maybe Harry doesn't leave or maybe Sophie does?
There was, but we found that this particular version was the most emotionally satisfying. When we were shooting, actually, Dean called us up the day that they were shooting that goodbye scene with Harry. And it wasn't working because we hadn't given them enough of a goodbye, actually. So we had to sit down really quickly and essentially do a, I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow kind of goodbye sequence, because we wanted to say goodbye to him in a more emotional way.
Yeah, he kind of was like the thread throughout the season for people to connect with and understand the journey of redemption, because our OGs have already started that process. And
yeah.
And Harry kind of, if you've never seen Leverage and never saw any of that and had no concept, he is the guide essentially for understanding the concept of it. So we talked to Noah and he said that you shot the finale closer to the beginning of that.
It was just the nature of trying to get everybody's schedules in order.
Yeah.
We'd had some production delays due to the fact that we had a bunch of hurricanes. So our episodes got moved down and down and down. And I don't want to spoil it, but all this is in this episode. And all this schedule was very tight. So, but we knew we wanted him in this episode, so we ended up lifting this episode from the end and moving it up to where he could film it.
Yeah, I don't think it would have felt right if the season had ended and we didn't see him again.
It would not have felt right at all.
Yeah, it would have felt totally something would be missing. Like, mm-hmm. No, that's not okay. And I think a lot of people, it gives them like the giggles, like, oh yes, he's back.
Yeah. I really enjoy his come with me if you want to live kind of like, it's like, yeah, that's really fun.
I feel like his character is so important, not just to the team, but to the ship, the ship that I ship. And also, you know, he's Brianna's brother.
Mm-hmm.
How important was it to make sure that his character was not just popping in to say hello, but like part of it?
Very important. I mean, you don't want Hardison just popping in to say hello and coming in. You want him involved. You want, because he is that character. He's that person. He is probably the best of the original crew. So the most good. So you want to see him doing his thing.
Yeah. I love that there's the connection with him and Parker, and when he's back, she's not mad. Because that was yesterday's Parker.
No, but that's also how you have an adult relationship. You like you are secure in your partner and your relationship enough to be able to be apart from each other. And we do have them talking over the course of the season. We do reference him quite a bit. So he's not not present.
He's just not seen.
Yeah,
he's not. Yeah, because like his Christmas gift was, here's a job, and you guys are supposed to relax, but Merry Christmas, boo. Like,
yeah, but I feel like in a lot of TV, a lot of times writers will write an angry person because someone's gone just so that there is that drama. Why does this show not feel, or I think rightfully not feel like it's necessary?
Well, because our drama within our characters comes from the obstacles that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
We collectively, me, Dean, John, everybody sat down and was like, we don't want Hardison and Parker's relationship to be an obstacle. It's it is something that buoys both of them. So let's all be adults. Let's realize that people sometimes have jobs that take them away from each other, but they are still the most important people in each other's lives.
I love that.
Shout outs for maturity. You don't own anybody. You just experience them.
Yeah, it's rare that you see that on TV.
I don't want to break them up. Come on.
Oh, I appreciate as a shipper, and I appreciate
also,
it.
Also, I think it's been like, if you think about it, they're like a decade and they're not a new couple. Like there's this, and I want to think in the time that we didn't see them, that all these kinks and things have been worked out and they've worked through any trust issues that they have. Parker probably has a lot of trust issues with people and they've worked through that. And also that they understand the mission is like bigger than themselves. Like their job and what they do is more important than petty feelings.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that there's a scene in the previous episode where Elliot asks Parker for relationship advice. And then in this final episode, you know, he's single now.
He's not single as long as he has Parker and Hardison. They'll always be together.
He'll be the permanent third wheel.
I don't think he minds.
No, but like, again, I think everyone was rooting and we saw the first eight. I was like, it's got to happen for him. And then we saw it kind of happening, but well, there's difficulties in that.
There are, I mean, it's hard to, it's a hard life that our characters lead. It's, you know, it's not above the law. It's, and it is fraught with danger.
Not above Mounties.
I would say that I don't think that this is necessarily the last that we've seen of Elliot in a relationship. I think he's going to find his way to someone that understands what he does and accepts him for who he is, because that's the only thing we all want, right?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this season finale, because it felt like it was a two-part season finale, which, you know, mirrors nicely with the two-part series premiere.
Yes.
Was it always intended to be like a two-parter or?
Yes, in so much as we wanted episode 15 to have our guys win the battle, win the day, but not realizing that their adversary was going to up the ante. And that adversary has to be taken down. So 16, the finale, is the direct result of the penultimate episode.
Right.
So, yes, it was meant to be tied together like that.
And R.I.Z., who we met in the beginning and returns, in the end is not defeated in that they're all still alive and not in jail, I guess.
Well, there are deals that are going to be made. You get a little bit of that with the way that Hardison and Brianna talk about how they're taking them down. But they're exposed. Mm-hmm. They can't do what they're doing anymore. When their job relies upon secrecy and discretion, they're exposed, which is at least takes them off the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so assuming we return for season two.
Manifesting
season two. Is there possibility of R.I.Z., at least Alexandra Bly, returning?
Maybe. I'm not going to rule anything out at this point in time.
Okay.
Like, evil never dies. And there's what I liked about this last episode, loved about it, is that we realize, this organization is much more than we ever imagined. And just the possibilities of where that can be taken, how evil it can get, are pretty cool.
It's the reverse of leverage. It's essentially spies for hire, but to the bad guys.
It's funny scene with her and Gina when they're kind of facing off. I don't know if you remember this. They had a cartoon back in the day. It was like spy versus spy.
And one in white, one in black.
And I literally thought of that. And I was like, it's so crazy. So they're literally the antithesis of our team.
Yeah.
Was that intentional?
Yeah. Yes.
You guys are so smart.
I like when we're like, that's so clever. I wonder if they meant to do it. Yes, we did. Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with us today about the season finale.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun being on the podcast and watching everybody else be on the podcast and making this season.
As always, we know that Leverage Redemption would not exist if it were not for the fans. So, of course, we have some amazing fan art to show you. Let's check that out. The official Leverage Redemption After Show is part of the Electric Surge Network on Electric Now. We recommend checking out some of our other original content like Inglourious Trekspertz, The 430 Movie, and Best Movies Never Made. Finally, a very special thank you to Bill Ritter, Patrick Meany, and everyone at Electric Surge Network, our producers Natalie Michelli, and of course, Dean Devlin, without whom this show would not be possible. Thank you so much to everyone for joining us all season long. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, seriously. We're going to miss you guys so much, but big shout outs and thank yous to the entire cast of Leverage Redemption, showrunners, Dean Devlin, Natalie, all of you for watching.
Yeah, of course, you can keep up with us through the hiatus, hopefully, on Twitter and Instagram at After Leverage. And of course, you can find us at It's Felicia Michelle. I'm at Yael Teagle. And until next time.
This has been
the official Leverage Redemption After Show, a very distinctive podcast.